guys, welcome back to the very first preview podcast of season 2024. I can't believe it's back. Footy is back. I'm excited and equally terrified for the game on the weekend, but hey, it's going to be a good time. All your favourites are going to be back. We're going to do the live reactions, which you guys really, really loved. At this stage of recording, it's currently Thursday night. It's 8:30. I've got home from work and I have not looked at the team lineup, so I'm going to do my live team reaction. I'm sure you guys have seen the team already. This is dropping Friday mornings. So of course you have. And hopefully you're excited to see some of my reactions to the team, which awful players are going to play and which great players have they missed out on. So we'll do that. Other than that, we're going to do tips. Under the microscope, we're bringing that back. We can't do ins and outs for this week because there's no outs to be had. VFL's pushing for ones. We're going to talk a bit more about the VFL throughout the year. I'm going to try to anyway. Can't do that this week, of course. Going to tip and going to do under the microscope. So we're going to drop all that in. One exciting thing we're going to be doing this year, which I did talk a little bit about, is every single week, whatever team we play against on the weekend, I'm going to find a opposition fans podcast and try and get one of the hosts on so we can talk about the game and dissect what's going to happen. So this week I've got Alex from They Might Become Giants, a new GWS podcast which has started up. I've got him on. I'm going to drop the interview just after this because it's a fantastic interview and really good insight into the Giants and how they're feeling about us as well. Only a 15-20 minute interview. But yeah, we asked some really cool questions and we had a good chat and he's a really nice guy. So thank you to Alex again for jumping on. So we're going to drop that in now. After that, team reaction and what was it called again? Under the microscope. Yeah, look how good at this I am. Clearly I'm rusty and it's round one form, guys. Okay, leave me alone. Apologies for the glare in my glasses. It's darker earlier now, so I've put a light in front of me to make sure you can see my face, but I'll work on something to dampen that light eventually. But hey, I'm a bit hangry. I've just got home, so give me a break. Anyway, here is the interview with Alex from They Might Become Giants, and then team reaction and under the microscope and tips after that. So a nice quick pre-game podcast. Jeez, I'm excited. All right, guys, enjoy the interview and I'll see you back here for the reaction. All right, so we've got our very first fan podcast from another team coming onto the podcast today. Very, very exciting stuff. We've got Alex here. The Mighty Become Giants is the podcast. Welcome to the Further North podcast, mate. Are you pumped? Are you ready to talk some North ball?
Oh, absolutely, North ball. Yeah, I'm from the new Giants podcast called They Might Become Giants. I've just started it this year, and it's a podcast basically where I'm trying to convince my mate, who's from Western Sydney, and loves NRL to follow the AFL and hopefully the Giants. So we've just started that, so we're two eps in. So it's good to be here and join you.
Yeah, cool. I was going to ask how long has it been around? I did have a quick search through and there's only a few episodes up and it seems like a fairly new thing. What inspired you to start the pod?
Yeah, at this point we've only released one episode. So by the time this comes out, our second one will come out and that's where I sort of preview North Melbourne and give him a brief history of North Melbourne as well as a club, as well as sort of talk about our experiences going to the games. But it was just, I think there's, I just kind of wanted to do something different where, you know, it's me sort of pleading my friend to be into the thing that I'm into.
Yeah,
it's a bit of please go for my team, you know what I mean? So I live in Sydney, but I grew up in Perth and I go for a Western Sydney team and I don't actually know anything about it. So the idea, the push of the podcast is that, I'm going to teach him about the team and he's going to teach me about Western Sydney. So we're going to go to all these different pubs and RSLs throughout Western Sounds Sydney on away games. So, yeah, it should be fun.
Unreal. How is the conversion from NRL to AFL going for your mate?
He started pretty strong.
What was the first reaction though? Like what did you just go up and be like, hey man, I got this idea. And because all I know is NRL people are so passionate about everything's NRL and AFL is awful. And obviously it goes both ways, but how was that first conversation?
I think he is a staunch NRL supporter, but he loves sports in general. You know,
okay.
I know a lot of people who are sort of sports fans. So he loves F1, he loves golf. And I'd taken him to a game. So he had a taste of it in the previous year and he really enjoyed it. And so I just thought, oh, look, the door's slightly ajar here.
Seize the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So I sort of crept through it. But no, he's good. I mean, we might go out to a Manly game at some point. He goes for the Manly Seagulls. So
yeah.
Even though he's a Westie, he doesn't really have a club out there. So
All I know about that is my dad is a big West Tigers fan and Manly is his most hated team. That's the only way I can relate to that. I don't follow the NRL at all, but I know my dad hates Manly.
I think it seems like from what I'm learning that a lot of teams dislike Manly.
They might be the Collingwood of
I'm getting that vibe. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. We have to report back on that because I need that confirmed.
Yes, I will. I'll report back. Well, listen to the show. It's They Might Become Giants. Check it out.
They Might Become Giants, Andrew. I think they're already Giants, mate, because they played pretty well on the weekend.
Yeah, they did. They did. We were super stoked going out to NG Stadium, as it's now called.
What is it called?
NG.
NG?
As in, I think it's like if you take the middle syllable out of energy, you end up with NG.
And I'm going to look this up. Yeah. Oh, it is ENGIE, NG Stadium, yeah. Sydney.
I think they used to be called Simple Energy or something like that.
And to make it more simple, they took a bit of the word.
Yeah, they've simplified it so far.
Is this a
down,
Western Sydney thing? Do I need to get any context here?
Not as far as I know. Not as far as I know. But, yeah, the Giants played beautifully on the weekend. We were stoked. It was a buzzing crowd. You know, Giant Stadium is a as you guys would call it, a boutique stadium. But you get anything over 20,000 people there and it feels really good. It feels really
I'm a big A-League fan and I go to the Victory all the time and it's very similar to Amy Park. If you get 20,000 in that thing, it's wild. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's great fun and it's a really nice, it was a nice atmosphere apart from the Collingwood fans. But no, it was great. And to get a win against the Premiers in round zero was super, super impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was talking to Marnie on the podcast a couple of days ago when we did it. And I think the Giants and the Pies rivalry is probably the biggest in the AFL right now. I know Collingwood Carlton historically is bigger, but I don't think those two teams hate each other like they used to, especially with Carlton being pretty poor for like 20 years. I kind of think that's the spiciest rivalry for me. I think it's taken over Geelong, Hawthorn, Essendon, the Collingwood and Essendon thing for Anzac Day. It's not, I don't think they're rivals. I think it's just a big game. You know what I mean? Yeah. But this is two teams that hate each other and the smaller team was picking on the bigger team while the bigger team is becoming bigger. So it's very, very interesting with the petting zoo and all that sort of stuff. It was so good.
Yeah, the media team there and the game day activations, they love to push the envelope because you know we're in an emerging market. You've got to do something different, and they love kind of goading the big silly Collingwood fans. So I love it. I love you know being a sort of competitor brand, I guess, and club. So, you know, really fun. Luckily for us, we had the, we went through with it and actually won. Mm. But, you know, modern, as you're talking about modern rivalries, you know, I think most of them are born out of prelims. That seems to be
true.
You know, most of the time, like we had, in our short history, we've had mostly a rivalry with the Western Bulldogs and the Swans a little bit and now Collingwood. So, yeah, we're just stepping it up, you know. We started with the small Victorian clubs and now we're going to the big ones. But we knocked them out of a prelim. They've knocked us out of one now. So yeah, no, it's been good.
Because I don't really feel the tension in it was a battle of the bridge. I don't really feel that the Giants and the Swans is anything spicy at all. But I do get that from the Pies and the Giants. So how do you feel about the battle of the bridge?
Yeah, there's a bit of animosity there. I'm sure there
would because it's like two Sydney teams and there's a bit of like, but like outside of Sydney, I don't feel like it really resonates with us, unlike the Adelaide one, we get it, and the Western Australian derby, we get it. But I don't, and it's the same with the Q clash, and I guess it's because Gold Coast have been rubbish for their entire history so far. But, you know, it doesn't hit like those yet, but I think the Giants and the Pies does.
I think it'll grow and grow. I think so far with the Battle of the Bridge, you know, we've knocked them out of finals every time we've played them. So they're getting a little bit annoyed with us, which is good. But, you know, I think the Giants have gotten really good at making a big, big sound and making things quite noisy. And as that's grown, there is a bit of animosity, which is good. I mean, it's good for the game. It's just a bit of fun.
That's sort of like pettiness is what sports needs. Mason Cox going over and just having a little nudge at your ruck coach and the petting zoo stuff. I mean, it's so good, and we need way
only,
more.
It was
of
the only
that
touch in... you got for the game, actually. So.
That was made clear. Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, is it Brett Daniels went on the Sunday Footy Show? Is that the guy?
Brent Daniels. Brent. Yeah. Yeah.
So he went on there and sort of said, well, you've got to, if you're going to do that sort of stuff, you've got to show up. And it just makes it spicy and good and exciting. And I'm absolutely tuning into the next one. And, you know, without going on a rant about the media, it's more like, you know, the media beg for personality in sports. And when they give it to them, they complain and try and cancel the players or complain about how they went about things. And no wonder they act like robots. And if you let them toe the line and accidentally step over a line, sometimes this is what births rivalry. And we need so much more of that in the league.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like anything, you know, you're allowed to have a personality if you're really good. That seems to be the media's kind of bent on that. Like if you're a Dacos, you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Well, this is the thing with Clarkson, like on the weekend, and I know there's a line that, you know, did he cross the line? Maybe a little bit, but we know the intent of the comment wasn't to hurt anybody specific. But, you know, if Clarkson won a premiership last year and sort of stood up for his player like he did last weekend or the weekend before, I don't think it's as big of a story. But because North are not very good and a bit of a punching bag, I think that just, you know, pushes down on us more. And if we do turn that table up on its head, then, you know, I think we can get away with doing more of that sort of stuff.
I think he's going to get called out for that kind of language.
The choice of language probably wasn't ideal, but the premise of what he did was maybe scrutinized.
Oh, you can understand. You can understand the anger behind where his frustration was coming from, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So how are you feeling about playing North this weekend, mate? Are you terrified for North Ball? Are you worried about us beating the Pies in the preseason and we're coming for you?
Okay, so run me through real quick. What is North Ball?
And, you're about to find out, mate, in a few days' time.
Are you guys basically the English cricket team? Is that what's happening here?
100% yes. I think it did. it was literally just a passing comment from George Wardlaw that the fans and the media ran wild with. So it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, to be honest with you. But there's a lot of mayo on North Bowl, but we're basically playing, and this is actually a question I've got here going into what sort of game plans we both like to play, and North going with something completely different this year. It's very run and gun sort of football, quick transition from the back, high risk corridor football as well, which I do think this year is going to lead to a lot of turnovers and we're going to get scored pretty heavily against. But, you know, on our day, we could surprise a team, and I think we're going to kick much bigger scores this year. North Ball is basically quick ball movement, quick transition off the half back line, get it to our good users and get it into the forward line. It's playing very appealing, fast football, which genuinely I've never seen us do. even when we were kind of good and made a bunch of prelims.
It was more dour then, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a more overall game. We're not playing defense, mate. This is the thing that seems to be happening in the preseason, is it's all offense. It's run and gun, play to our strengths. Our defense is definitely our weakest area, although I do think our defense as a system held up all right, but the individual players maybe aren't the best.
So you're playing basically regular season NBA. So no defense and just
All-Star game, mate, every single game. Top. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. Well, that's basically the game plan that I think Collingwood and Richmond and the Giants now play. You know, that orange tsunami, that flow through the middle, use the wings sparingly. The difference is all those teams have, you know, rock solid back sixes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just had a look at your team and your injuries, and I'm a little worried.
Okay, tell me.
about. So is Aiden Corr playing?
Basically, everyone is up for selection. So we don't know yet. Clarkson did a press conference today. Everyone, to 42 out of the 44 listed players are up for selection. One of those is Griffin Logue, who's got his ACL. I don't know who the other one is, but from as far as I know, everyone who really matters, apart from Griffin Logue, is available for selection. So like Luke McDonald, Aiden Corr, your old mate, and Charlie Combin, you know, who are probably three of our better defenders. We can argue about Luke McDonald, but like they're very more experienced players. They're up for selection, but they only played VFL games.
Right. Yeah. I think it's just, you know, I think without Mackay back there as well, I do feel like our forwards were pretty damaging against Collingwood, against a very good defense. I worry about, yeah, mostly the talls, I think, for you guys. You know, Hogan's a problem now. And although Riccardi isn't, you know, the flashiest second forward, he can kind of take over games now. He's getting to
Cadman had a good game too on the weekend. Or decent
Cadman's starting to fly for everything and look really strong. And then Brown, who you know, was a role player and kicked five against Collingwood and looks fast and strong. So he plays as a small, really. And I tell you what, he's not small. He's massive. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a lot of running. I think you guys have got a lot of good young players. Like I love obviously you can't miss with your draft picks, but I loved the picks. You know, Dersma, I think, is playing and McKercher.
Yeah, they both got confirmed to play. Yep.
Great. Yeah. Like those guys are amazing. And then who was the midfielder that you just said before? Talked about Northball.
Wardlaw.
I really liked his selection in the draft. You know,
he's the player I'm the highest on, mate. I've got a big man crush on George Wardlaw. And I think he could be an absolute star. I've never seen a young player come in and attack the contest like he does. And every game he plays, he usually only racks up maybe 15 to 17 touches, but every time he's around the ball, he does something positive. So if he can ever become like a 30 touch a game player, he'll be so, so dynamic. So it's still talent and he's still got to prove it, but I love the look of that kid.
He's an absolute hard nut. He actually reminds me a little bit of Callum Ward in that real, the way he hits and the pressure that he puts on.
Not a bad comparison,
That in and under player who's just reliable. And, you know, because you've got so much class coming through, you know, with Sheezel and whatnot, I think having that harder nut in the midfield is going to be, a really good dynamic. You know, you need to have different types in there. You know, much like for us, you know, it's great to have Josh Kelly sort of running and gunning and both ways, but you need a Tom Green and a Canelio to get that in and under ball.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's a good lead into the next one. Who on North are you sort of the most worried about? Or who do you look at when you look at our team and you go, he could be a problem or he could hurt us today?
Yeah, I just thought Larky, you know, had an incredible season last year. Yeah. If we didn't have Sam Taylor, I'd be worried about
He's fantastic.
Larky. But Sam Taylor, I reckon pound for pound, is the best defender in the league, especially one-on-one, like lockdown. The guy's a monster. I mean, when you see him live, you realize just how, you know.
What's the Brisbane fullback's name? I'm skipping on it.
Harris Andrews.
Yeah. I think I'd pick him. I think he's got runs on the board, but like give it a year and I reckon Taylor could absolutely be up there.
Taylor's getting to that spot now.
For sure.
You know, he doesn't often lose a one-on-one. So I'd say Larky, but I also think that, you know, given the game style that you guys are going to play, I think that that Sheezel could be, you know, he's that, you know, for a Giants comp, I guess, he's that Whitfield player, you know, that guy who can set up.
He links up from the back to the forward liner. Yeah, there was a bit of chat. I think he'll get some midfield time. And look, if things aren't going well, I think you maybe see him in the forward line because we did draft him as a forward, like a Toby Green, but sort of a very crafty, skillful forward pocket who's got a little bit of size, but he's just knows where the goals are. But obviously playing him in that Dacos role last year unlocked, you know, such a star talent, to be honest.
I think with that style of football, what I've noticed, you know, watching the Giants going from very contested ball, you know, very stoppage heavy ball to Kingsley coming in and, you know, adopting the tsunami, is that having Ash and Whitfield and Himmelberg as well, being those really good distributors of off halfback, yeah, sets that whole thing up.
Well, as long as they you run say that
through. Yeah,
because that's the biggest thing I noticed this the offseason with our recruitment is McKercher is a draft pick, but Dylan Stevens from the Swans and Zach Fisher, especially Zach Fisher from the Blues. Zach Fisher's arguably been our best player in the preseason, and he's been 30 plus touches off halfback every game. He's so clean in disposal. He'll pass, run, get the ball back and keep linking up. And, you know, if you've got the ball in, even a guy like Josh Goda, I'm not sure if you know much about Josh Goda, but he looked really good in the preseason. And these are all pretty elite, quick, skillful ball users off halfback. And we really only had Goda and Sheasel last year. Mm. Sheasel had to do so much by himself. So I don't, you know, I would never blame Harry Sheasel for any of our, you know, how awful our back line was. Our misgivings. Sure. But Fisher, Stevens and McKercher have genuinely changed the way we exit the ball from the 50, our back 50. And what I think, why I think we played very well against the Pies and we looked really good against the Saints, except for maybe the second quarter, is when we're turning the ball over now, we're turning it over entering our forward 50 instead of while we're leaving our back 50. And it's not just going one kick straight over our heads straight for another goal. We're actually progressing the ball up better because we've got actual ball users and they've all been preseason sort of recruits or draft picks and things like that. And I really think it's unlocked this style of play we're playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. What are you guys, I guess, from a North perspective, what are you worried about, you know, coming up to NG Stadium and taking on the big
about
the name,
are
you just scared
mate, to
about,
be honest?
Pardon? The memes? You're worried about the memes?
I'm worried about the name of the stadium. I didn't know it was called that. Now I feel uncomfortable in the environment. No, look, the Giants are so solid all over the ground. You know, obviously the forward line fired so well last week. And I think against our backline, I really hope as a system, our backline holds up. We did pretty well at intercepting and cutting the ball off before it got and actually entered into the opposition's 50. But when it does go one-on-one, we're pretty poor. So Hogan, Cadman's marking ability looked pretty good. You know, your forwards look pretty dangerous. And if they do get one-on-one, I'm pretty worried about that. Obviously, Tom Green might just absolutely destroy. But I think our midfield is probably our strongest area. Maybe not defensively, though. Like if I believe if we get the ball in Wardlaw, LDU, Sheasel, even like a Tom Powell, or Will Phillips, these guys' hands, If we can get transition out of the middle, I think we're going to be really good. But if we don't, I don't know. Except for Wardlaw, I don't think there's a real hard nut tackler that we can stop your midfield with. Obviously, Kelly, very good user of the ball. Green, just a hard nut. Wardlaw-esque, to be honest. He's like what I'd like Wardlaw to be in a few years' time. Canelio just really had his maybe his last couple of years haven't been to the heights that he –
Last year, I think, was his best career.
True. It just feels like there was a section of his career for a couple of years where he maybe plateaued a little bit. And
when he was
last
made
year,
captain
and game,
through COVID, it was a bit rough. But last year, it was the best I'd seen him play. The pressure was off a little bit. And it's freed him. It's freed him up. I mean, all those guys still, you know, they're all around. They're under 30 or 30.
Your
team
is every. Every section of the field is very, very good. So I don't think the only area I think we could get on top of if everything goes right is our midfield, because that's where I rate us the highest. If we can get our ball into the 50 quick, Larky needs 3 shots for 3 goals. So even though Taylor's a fantastic player, if we can get if Larky gets 4 or 5 shots, he probably kicks 4 or 5 goals. He's that accurate. Yeah. So, you know, there's players like Zerha where you just don't know.
I like Zerha.
Yeah, it's chaos ball with him though. Like he's either going to kick 5 or be irrelevant for the game. Yeah. So he's a barometer.
He might get Iden, I think.
Yep, possibly. Paul Curtis is another one like that. We don't have many forwards that are consistent, except for Larky, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go in with a small forward line. That's something that could be interesting with your tall defenders. Like,
you're right. We've got a massive back line. So we'll be playing Taylor, Buckley, Iden,
that's the one I was thinking of.
Haynes as well, and Haynes.
Because so I think that's... like a Haynes we could exploit. And like so as an example, like a Buckley, I don't know who he – what's he going to play on a Zerha? I think Zerha's more agile. He's going to be quicker.
He'll play on your second tour.
Well, that's Zerha, I think, unless Coleman Jones plays, which he's been rubbish for the preseason, and I really hope he doesn't play. I think there's a very, very high chance we go small and Zerha's the second key forward. Yeah. And if we do that, and then I'd say Dersma's probably the third, you know, I think we could exploit with agility and pace. Even though your defense is great and I back it as a system and individually the players are very, very good. But, you know, I think if a Zerha does have to play on a Buckley, agility-wise, speed-wise, I think we've got the upper hand there.
Do you know much about Buckley?
I've seen him play a few games. What is he, 198 centimeter, big dude?
Yeah, but he started as – he's not quite that tall, I don't think.
Isn't he? Okay.
He might be. He started as a winger for the in the Sydney Swans Academy. And he is quick. He's such a good defender. You know, he was up in the top 10 defenders last year statistically. Yeah. So he's a decent player. He generally takes the second forward. I dare say they'll put someone like Iden on Zerha given just the size matchup. But yeah, I think the smalls could definitely. You know, open up our back line if they just get caught sort of lacking, especially because we tend to have Whitfield and Ash and Perryman when he's playing. Perryman stays back, but Whitfield and Ash run off and try and get that rollover ball.
Yeah.
And so it can leave a small, you know, exposed. That's definitely a space where I could see that happening. I'm just hoping that there's a good crowd, you know, at NG Stadium this week.
I just want to say the name more. It's wild.
NG.
I think with your – I'm just trying to think, like, how our backline holds up and who plays on who. And we haven't played yet and we haven't put our lineup out, but I have a feeling it's going to be Callum Dawson. I think Aiden Corr might play for experience. And then Biggie Nguyen, who we got from Richmond. Dawson and Biggie have about 5 games combined in the AFL. So, look, it is worrying.
So, who do you think Aiden Corr is going to – you think Aiden Corr is your number one tall defender?
I think Callum Dawson would be our number one. I would probably play Callum on a Hogan if I was going to pick. I'd probably put Biggie on Cadman, maybe just because of the inexperience of Cadman. Biggie's played less, don't get me wrong, but you know, Cadman's probably the one that I'm scared of the least, even though I think he's in for a big year. And then Aiden Corr is an awful one-on-one defender.
For Riccardi. Yeah. You know, he used to be all right, actually. You know, my experience of Aiden Corr as a Giants player was that he was extremely fast in a straight line.
Aiden Corr is like he's like a running halfback that grew too big.
Yeah, pretty much. He's interesting though, but the amount of times that I watched him get absolutely cooked by Buddy Franklin was amazing. He was in our setup at the time. He was our third tall defender.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting last year for us because we played him as our third and he was rubbish. I don't know if you've Marnie told you much about the podcast or like, you know, any of the rants I've ever been on, but Aiden Corr was the top two most hated players for me at the club.
Oh, so he's your punching bag. He's your whipping boy.
Well, not as much anymore. The last 2 months of the season last year, he played phenomenally well, but that wasn't until Griffin Logue did his ACL and he started playing as the second key defender. Which I am terrified with him as our second key defender. But if he can play with the form he played for the last 2 months of the year, I'm on the Aiden Corr train. But the 2.5 years before he did that I had to watch him play was an abomination of a footballer. So I really hope that good Aiden Corr last 2 months of 2023 Aiden Corr shows up.
He'll be back at Giant Stadium. He'll be back at the showgrounds.
But it wasn't called NG Stadium when he was there, mate. He's going to not know what's going on.
But you know, maybe he'll find some of his previous form and you know, put on a clinic. You never know.
Well, I hope so. But the biggest thing for me, we got no one to play on Toby Green, man, and he didn't do much last week, and he's going to kick a bag, an absolute.
Yeah. He does have the ability, as I'm sure all of your listeners will know, to just destroy teams. And
yeah.
And just as that, you know, because he pushes into the middle basically when he doesn't, you know, get a touch for a little bit, and just imposes himself in there as well. He's a phenomenal player that I've been watching, you know, since our club started. But yeah, he's the kind of guy who, the hard thing about him is that he drags defenders.
Yeah.
Because they're especially in a team, you know, even with Maynard, you know, they didn't want to leave that as a.
He's
as
always going to win a one-on-one too, I think.
It's very hard to beat him in a one-on-one, yeah. Which is funny because, you know, size-wise, strength-wise, yeah. Pace-wise.
I'm sort of like, but looking at our team, if Luke McDonald plays, he's going to play on him. But I don't think Luke McDonald's that guy. We've only got attacking smalls off halfback. We don't have like, I'd love a Jackson Archer for us to play this role like his old man did, but he's not fit. And I think Jackson Archer might be the other guy who's not available. I think Josh Goda will be the guy who plays on Toby Green if I was going to pick. Josh Goda is like he's about 190 centimeters, very athletic, good intercept mark, quick, good disposal off half back. He hasn't had much experience playing on anyone, let alone a Toby Green level player. But yeah, I think he's probably the only option we've got. So unless we bring Aiden Bonner back for a game and try and stick him on him, but please, for the love of God, no.
So,
and,
what are you hoping for in this game? Is there a thought in your mind? Is there the idea that you, do you think that you can win this?
Well, here's the next question. So we've got two more questions and let's go to this one.
Ahead.
No. This is where I was going to transition to. You're picking up what I'm putting down. What am I hoping for from the game? I'm sort of known as the very realistic fan, and some people call me pessimistic. I think I'm realistic. Now, I love my club so much. I've supported them since I was young. Clearly, I do lots of content every week for a pretty average team in the last few years. I love them. Realistically, I want the players to go in with the mindset of we must win this game. But for me, if we have a respectable performance, we're in the bottom four. We're going to be bottom four. The Giants are arguably going to be premiership contenders. I'd say they're premiership contenders. So this isn't a team we should be messing with right now. If we can play our brand of football, if the young guys step up and lead the team and we can keep it within four or five goals, say 4 to 6 goals, I'm pretty happy with the performance. As long as we play our brand and we don't get run over and we look like we've made a big leap under Clarkson, you know, good debuts from the young guys, and we look like we're a team and we've got a game plan and keep it fairly respectable, I'm pretty happy, mate, to be honest. Frio's the next game we've got after that, and that's, I sniff a win. So that's how I feel about it.
I think that's a good call. I think, as long as you don't sort of do what Essendon did last year when they came to Giants Stadium and just gave up, I think that is a win. Like I had us winning by 30 points, sort of that. I think if you can keep it in,
I would be area. Fairly happy with that, as long as we sort of play the brand of football that we've been doing in the preseason.
So also, you think like about last 30 year, point win? Last year the Giants, when we were bottom three, you know, with a very similar list.
Yeah.
Beat Adelaide in a thriller in round one and then lost to West Coast in West Coast. So it's not like we can't lay a stinker. There's we've got some, you know, we're capable of it. I think the way that the Giants are locked in at the moment, it's pretty unlikely. But I'm hoping, sadly for you, for probably just like an absolute tune up.
That's
the masochist in me.
So you're predicting like 30 points, you reckon?
I reckon we might.
Don't get carried away now.
I reckon we might put the foot down. But, you know, as you said, I'm a pretty passionate supporter, and you know, I'd like to see us. I actually think, yeah, I think if we won by 5 goals, I'd be stoked with that. So 30 yeah. points, yeah, that's about where I'd put it. Okay. I don't think your team's going to roll over. You got a lot of talent.
No, I think with Clarkson being there now, I think we're going to have more of a hunger and a desire to go into the contest. I think we play for him. Brett Ratten, yeah. I don't rate super highly. So yeah, I don't think we'll be pushovers, maybe in one or two games this year as we're developing, but I don't think we'll be pushovers. I think we'll be annoying to play against, but maybe run out of gas late on. And
yeah, I think if you guys get off to a good start,
yeah,
you know, they could absolutely stick with the Giants. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, we've got a few outs now as well. So it's just one of those, you know, I think we're getting Perryman back and maybe Callahan. So
yeah,
some pretty handy inclusions. But yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to it. Have you ever been to Giants Stadium?
No. Maybe one day, mate. Maybe look, if North play up there and I've got a spare bit of coin laying around, we'll hit up a game.
Sure. Sounds good.
Give me the tour. One more question just before, we've got 4 minutes left on the chat. So we might wrap it up if we have to do another Zoom chat, because I'm not paying for Zoom. Just a quick prediction. What do the Giants do this year? Are you thinking premiership, top four? What's the goal?
I won't say premiership. But I would definitely say, like, I really want a home final.
Yep.
I think that's so. Yeah, I'm gunning for top four, especially after that round zero win. Mm. You know, that we've got you guys, and then I think we've got the Eagles, and then we've got the Suns.
Decent.
Yeah, to start. So I mean, look, to be honest with you, I'm picking us in probably all of those games.
Yep.
After that first win against Collingwood. So I think the club, the players, they all believe that, you know, this is a contending year.
Yep, for sure.
And I'm super excited. I think we've had the heartbreak and you know, the ups and downs for a little bit now. So and still have maintained a pretty good list. So I'm thinking top four and go very deep. I'd love to make a grand final.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we might wrap it up there then. We actually got through that pretty well, and I think that was good chat. So thank you again for coming on the podcast. And next time Giants and North play, I'll be sending you a message and get you on again to dissect it all, you know?
Nice, mate. Appreciate you having me on. And yeah, if you you know, want to hear my very brief history of North Melbourne,
I'll be tuning in. I want to fact check it, mate. Giants.
It comes out on Wednesday. Yeah, I probably got it a lot wrong. We were sort of trying to come up with.
If you need North fact checking, you know who to call. All right, I'm right.
We were trying to come up with alternate names because we found out that you guys were originally called the Bluebirds.
Were we? I didn't even know that.
Wikipedia, yeah. Well, that was your sort of moniker, the Bluebirds, because you were the Hotham Football Club, right?
And then you
were the Bluebirds, and then the Shinboners, and then you took up the Kangaroos in the 50s or something like that. So,
I might learn a couple of things about my own club, mate. I might have to tune in.
that's what I'm learning as well. Like teaching this friend of mine about AFL, I'm going, well,
there you
what?
Go.
You know, I've never heard of the Bluebirds before. So, no, it was good.
Unreal. Well, go the Bluebirds this weekend. Hopefully they swoop the Giants. I want to get an old Bluebirds jersey.
Thought the Butchers sounded like a good name. The Butchers, you know, the Shinboners. What were they? They were Butchers. So we liked that.
We'll bring it back. Yeah, I'll campaign to the club. We'll start a poll. We'll see what happens.
That'll do it. All right. Thank you very much for coming on, mate.
They might become Giants. If any Giants fans out there listening to this, get over there. Alex has done a really good job. I'll be tuning in to hear some North Melbourne facts. So all my listeners here, go over and listen to that one to make sure his facts are correct and roast him if he gets them wrong.
Exactly right.
All right. Thank you for coming on, mate. Appreciate the chat and good luck on the weekend, but not too much.
Thanks, mate.
See you, mate. Thank you to Alex once again for that, for coming on the podcast and just giving some insight into the Giants. Interesting to see how they're feeling about us. Obviously very, very confident, but hey, have they faced North Ball before? Absolutely not. So look, who knows how it will go. We might run them off their feet, but probably not. But hey, I'm hoping, but I'm the realistic mind that we all know I am. So call me pessimistic all you want. Anyway, I'm about to look at the team lineups. Who is playing this week? Let me just get this up here on my laptop. Okay. We've got Gota. Core is playing. Okay. And Toby Pink, Darcy Tucker, Fisher, Callum Dawson in the back line. So we've got Dawson, Corin, Pink. Goda deserves his spot. Fisher, obviously. Tucker, yeah, interesting. Stevens, Davies Uniac, Bailey Scott on the wing. Good to see Bailey Scott on the wing. Obviously, they're going to move up and down. Who else have we got in here? CCJ has been picked. Ooh, I thought. Look, my gut feeling did tell me that CCJ was playing, even though his preseason suggests he maybe should not be. Cam Zerha, 100 game. Colby McKercher named on the half forward line. I know this isn't going to be where they're actually going to play, but hey, Curtis Larky Dersma, I like that. Paul Curtis has got in, fantastic. Our man Helmet Jerry, Wardlaw, Sheasel named in the middle. That will be interesting. And the bench, Lazaro Powell, Stevenson, Liam Shields, and Eddie Ford. Interesting. Biggie Newen, Robert Hansen, and Miller Bergman on the bench. Okay. Now, the one that stands out to me the most here, where is Will Phillips? Where is Will Phillips? Not even an emergency. No injuries that I know of. Jeez, that's telling. That's telling. Really interested to see what you guys think of that, because I'm just trying to think of other names here that we've missed out on. I guess Hugh Greenwood is another one. No Hugh Greenwood. No Miller Bergman. No, sorry, Miller Bergman's right here. No... why am I forgetting his name right now? You guys know the guy I'm talking about anyway. Will Phillips. Obviously, no Comben, no Simkin, no McDonald. Other than that, I think they're all sort of pretty standard names. Biggie, you know, it was Biggie or Pink. I said I'd be happy either way. I personally would have chosen Biggie, but I think maybe Pink gives a bit more size and their forward line is big. Anyway, no Phillips and no Greenwood. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I wonder how Marnie's feeling about that. Man, Marnie's going to be on the podcast after the Giants game, guys, so I'm going to ask her how she felt. Very interesting, Liam Shields and Eddie Ford are named. Liam Shields, you know, I like the experience, and I'm not upset with those guys playing at all. Eddie Ford, good game in the twos, but, you know, has been a little bit underdone. Obviously, Aiden Cole hasn't played a second. And Liam Shields, he's played, but, you know, he's played sort of in the intra-clubs. Yeah, wow. I can't believe Will Phillips isn't in this team. With Simkin out. Oh, geez. What I'd love to know what the club's thinking about Will Phillips right now. To not even be named as an emergency. Unless there's an injury that he's picked up that we haven't been told about. But, yeah, I'd love to find out what's happening there. No Greenwood and no Will Phillips. Very, very big. Greenwood, I mean, I guess Coleman Jones. You've got to pick Coleman Jones or Greenwood for me. Unless Greenwood as a sub would be perfect. But I think you've got to pick one or the other. Greenwood definitely, I mean, he hasn't played heaps in the ones, obviously. But his form, and it's probably more reliable. If Coleman Jones can play the way he sort of did when he came back after kicking 9 in the VFL. Look, that's the sort of player we need, but we haven't seen any of that in the preseason. So, look, that's about all I can react to, guys. That's wild. I can't believe. I can't believe Phillips isn't in there. That is crazy. Yeah, wow. I mean, other than that, it's all pretty standard, isn't it? I guess it's probably going to be the most boring team, you know, sort of reaction of the year because, you know, there's no one going out. I guess it's just players and people that they've left out. Look at it, the Giants. Out Callan Ward. Interesting. He's a good player. Finn Callahan. I don't know much about Callahan and Harry Perryman. I've heard the names before, but I'm not going to pretend like I know. Toby McMullen. Haven't really heard of him before, but Callan Ward is a name I know, so him going out makes me feel better because I know him. But I don't really know. Look, the Giants are strong all over the park, as we sort of talked about with Alex. So, yeah. Josh Kelly playing his 200th game. Zerha's 100th game. Wowee. What a time to be alive. Yeah, look. I can't believe that Will Phillips thing. I'm not going to keep going on about it. Sorry, this is awful podcasting. But, yeah, wow. Other than that, everyone's sort of where I expected them to be. You know, we could dive into, like, Tucker off half-back and McKercher off half-forward. But, you know, these 23s aren't, they're just putting them on the park wherever. They don't really care about putting them in their right position. So, yeah, very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm excited to talk to the guys on the weekend about this because I can't believe Will Phillips isn't in that team. Anyway, who is under the microscope? Who do I want a big game from? Is Coleman Jones too easy of a name to throw out here? I kind of think it has to be him. I mean, looking at this core, look, anything goes with him. He hasn't played. We'll give him a chance. We'll give him the first month, and then we could sort of make more judgments. I'd say the two I'm looking at here who I'm watching with a keen eye are Darcy Tucker and Coleman Jones. You could maybe throw Paul Curtis and Jaden Stevenson in that, but I think they've got the reps behind them to sort of warrant their spot. Paul Curtis can be an X factor. You know, he could win a game off his own boot. Stevenson was fairly consistent last year, and, you know, him and Dersmer have struck up a bromance, which is fantastic. So, Coleman Jones or Tucker? I'm going to put Coleman Jones under the microscope this week, and then we'll come back to him and see exactly how he performs. Darcy Tucker's probably a little bit colder of a shout. I mean, Coleman Jones is an obvious one, right? But yeah, Darcy Tucker was the one flying in preseason alongside Ball, and then never really stood out much in the games, to be honest. I think the first, like the Collingwood game, he was pretty solid. Didn't really do much for me in the St Kilda one, but hey, he sort of fell away from his early preseason form. But Coleman Jones, you're under the microscope, mate. I was your biggest fan, and the preseason has made me very, very worried. So I hope that he can come in and do the things that I really believed in him for. Take some marks, be an option off halfback and on the wing so we can progress the ball. And I hope he kicks a bag. But yeah, let's see how he performs. Okay, let's tip. Let's tip. And then, you know what? I'm calling this segment just the tip. So I'm trying to get back to the AFL website, guys. My apologies. Fantastic podcasting. Currently, Richmond and Carlton is 40-45 in the second quarter. We're just about to hit half time. So I'll tip the rest of this game because I currently don't know the result. Richmond look a million times better than they did last week. A million times better. Richmond looked like David Noble was their coach last week. So look, I think Richmond will fall away. I think Carlton will win. I hate that Richmond are doing well. I kind of want them to get absolutely spanked. So, but I don't want Carlton to win either. I'll tip the Blues. I'll tip the Blues in that one. I think they'll run away with it in the last. Collingwood, Sydney, MCG. I'm going Collingwood, but I think this could be game of the round, to be honest. There's a few juicy games in here, but yeah, I'm going to back Collingwood. They're not losing two in a row, and especially not in front of the Pie faithful. So I really like Sydney, and they could challenge for top four this year, I think. But I'm going to tip Collingwood. Essendon, Hawthorn, yuck, what a gross game. I hate the Hawks. They're my team I really dislike this year. Essendon, such a meh team, aren't they? They consistently sign best 22 players and consistently don't improve. So I'm going to tip the Bombers in that one, though, contrary to what I sort of just said about them. Hawthorn are rubbish. I hope they're rubbish, and they're very overrated. So I'm going to tip Essendon in that one, but it could go either way. We already talked about GWS North Melbourne. Geelong, St Kilda. I'm going to tip Geelong, but if this was at Marvel, I think I'd nearly go St Kilda. This could also be one of the games of the round for me. Collingwood, Sydney, Geelong, St Kilda are probably the two most even games. Well, Melbourne and Western Bulldogs is like that too, to be fair. Some juicy games. I'm going to tip Geelong, only because it's in Geelong though. Other than that, I would really struggle. I'd nearly pick St Kilda if it was at Marvel. Gold Coast, Adelaide. Adelaide for me. Richmond made Gold Coast look like prime Geelong last week, but I don't rate the Gold Coast. So I'm going to tip Adelaide in that one. Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, I will be going to this game on the weekend with a friend of mine. I'm going to tip the Bulldogs. I'm going to tip the Bulldogs, mainly because I sort of believe in the Bulldogs and their list is good enough to be in the top eight. I tipped them in the top eight, so I guess I've sort of got to back them. I tipped Melbourne higher than them, to be fair, but I don't know. I just get a feeling. The Ds might be flatter than I first thought, so I'm going to tip the Bulldogs there. Port and West Coast, gross. What a pathetic game of football. Look, Port's going to win this, but I would love West Coast to get up. But Port, unfortunately, at Adelaide too. I mean, Port are sort of the bit of the league's darlings, aren't they? So, yeah, Port in that one, but that feels gross. I hate Port Adelaide. And Fremantle, Brisbane, yuck, what a gross game. Brisbane will absolutely obliterate Fremantle in that one. So there's just the tips, guys. Oh, no, does it? Just the tips is already a thing. Oh, True Footy, he does that. I can't call it that then. That segment came and went very, very quickly. If you don't know True Footy on YouTube, you should get around and he's good. He's an Eagles fan, but I'll let it slide. I'll come up with a cooler name. Anyway, there's my weekly tips. Remember, my tips are 100% foolproof and I never get any of them wrong. So if you're in a work footy tipping comp, please go and sort that out. Tip everyone I tipped. I will get you there. Other than that, guys, I think we're pretty sweet for this week. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Alex and the concept of getting one of the other fan podcasts on mine. Let me know what you think. Message me or comment down below on anything. And let me know what you think. I'm trying to innovate a little bit more. Please, 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 voice messages straight after the game on the weekend. So far, Admin 3 and Marnie are going to be at my place watching the game. We're going to record within an hour of the game ending, I would say. So please remember, send your voice mails, 10 to 15 second voice messages to furthernorthpod@gmail.com. And I'll pick, if there's not many, I'll put all of them on the pod. If there's lots, I'll pick the best ones, but I'll try and rotate people every single week. I really want to get the fans' thoughts and your thoughts on the game. So I want great content. I want overreactions. I want Arsenal fan TV style stuff within voice messages. So 10 to 15 seconds, furthernorthpod@gmail.com. Send them in directly after the game. I want raw emotion from the fans and we'll listen to them and we'll react to them. Sean Attlee Club Champ is coming back. That's incredibly exciting. Everyone's favorite segment. And we're really back into the swing of it, guys. We're going to have an all-star lineup. As long as everyone can make it here and there's no car troubles, I'm talking to you, Marnie. We should get Admin 3 and Marnie on the podcast to review the Giants game. So we'll be here. I should be able to get it out by Sunday, if not Monday at the absolute latest, but I would be surprised if I don't be able to get it out on Sunday for you guys. So that is all coming back. Thank you so much for listening. We've got TikTok now. Don't forget, Further North Pod on TikTok, Instagram. We're on YouTube if you're not watching. I'm filming as many as I can. I've had some camera issues recently, so I apologize if some weeks I don't have the video. I'm working on it, but give me some time. Facebook, Further North Podcast, all the socials. Thank you for your thoughts, messages, kind words, and all that sort of stuff. So we'll be back on Sunday or Monday, should be Sunday, with an all-star lineup on the Further North Podcast. All your favorites are back. And yeah, let me know if you enjoyed this preview podcast, guys. But I'm going to edit, eat, upload, and then sleep and go back to work tomorrow. Remember as well, Black and Brown Barbershop, if you guys are out in the eastern suburbs and want to get a haircut from a North Melbourne fan, from myself, please just go on the website, book any slot, request Josh on the website, and you can come and get your haircut by me. We had a couple of new fans come through the last couple of weeks as well to come and get a cut. So I really appreciate to the couple of guys who came out to get a beard trim and a haircut. And hopefully a lot more of you come out to the barbershop and we can talk North. So should be good. That's in Mitcham, Black and Brown Barbershop as well. Anyway, that's enough from me, enough waffle. Thank you for listening once again, guys, and we will talk to you on Sunday.